Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, September 23rd. My name's Todd, one of the pastors at First Family Church. Really glad you've jumped on board today and are listening. Today, I want to address two questions. One that came in Sunday regarding Sunday's text and topic, and one from the archives, we'll call it. It actually came in around the first week in September. And it's really aimed at the idea of precision. So I want to address that question first, and then I'll take the second one, which came in Sunday, and it is regarding relationships. So question number one, this came in from a young man who was wondering, when is precision helpful and when is it not? Now, in the course of the conversation, that was his general question, very specifically asked. But we were in the first week of September. I think we were engaging in a different way of doing communion. We were about a week away from our fresh encounter night of worship. And so there was a good bit of emphasis on being aware of the Holy Spirit's presence and power, being more sensitive to what the Holy Spirit was doing in our church at specific times in the service, and just encouraging our membership to listen and hear the Holy Spirit, to trust His word and His promptings, to edify one another. And if the Holy Spirit were to gift us in moments during the service, to feel free to respond to those in a right way, in a biblical way. And so there was a moment in which we were really trying to encourage our church, and we still are, by the way. This is something that's ongoing through the whole month, but that was the first week of us trying to encourage our membership to linger a bit and listen to the Holy Spirit in our gathering. And so in the message that day, I did mention the word precision, also the word poetic, talked about different ways words can be used, and not to perhaps limit or confuse the heart of a word or the heart of a matter with perhaps a precise definition. And so the person asked me, is precision then helpful or harmful, and when is it either? And so I just want to get in the corner of saying, first of all, I'm a fan of precision. Yes, we should know what words mean. We should know what the heart of the matter is and what the words are pointing to, what they mean, that it matters. But I do think we can be so precise at times that we actually miss the heart of the matter. And so I want to explain, as a way to help this listener, this young man, I want to explain when I think precision is helpful and when I think it's not helpful. First of all, I think precision is helpful when it's in conjunction with other texts about the issue. And you could pick your issue, but when precision is in conjunction with other texts, then it is helpful. It's beneficial. It's full. We get the full landscape view. We have a broader perspective when precision is in conjunction with other texts about that issue. Here's an example. In this conversation with this young man, he asked him, he said, so are you going to change what you say to our church a lot when you say it's the word that does the work? And he said, because if the Holy Spirit and God's Holy Word are inseparable partners, then shouldn't you say it's the Word and the Spirit who do the work? And he kind of grinned and smiled and chuckled. And I kind of chuckled as well. And I told him this. I said, no, because in that moment, I'm simply giving the truth of 1 Thessalonians 2:13, where Paul says exactly this, that he was glad and was thankful that the Thessalonians received the Word of God as what it really was, the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that effectively works in you. So that text does say it's the Word that does the work. But here's what I don't say in that quote. I don't say it's the Word only that does the work, because we know other texts show us that the Holy Spirit uses the Word to open our eyes. The Holy Spirit uses the word to strengthen us and comfort us. It's always an inseparable relationship of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word. But in that immediate text, Paul's just drawing attention to the work the Word does in a moment. He's not saying the Holy Spirit isn't part of it. He's simply giving one perspective. But when we bring in other text, we know what the heart of that quote is. And so we don't let that quote or that text exist in isolation by using the word only. We don't say it's only the word that does the work. We don't mean when we say it's the word that does the work, we don't mean in that moment that the Spirit doesn't work. We're simply saying what that verse says in a precise fashion, but we understand it's in conjunction with other texts, and so we know the heart of the matter, the heart of the person saying it, the heart of the issue, that God's work does do the work. It is in conjunction with the Holy Spirit's work. It's always that way. But if we make someone only mean exclusively what they say in that moment without considering other text, I think we actually miss the point of precision to some degree. We isolate it so much, and I could even say this, we pick it to death so much that perhaps it loses even its full force. And so just know this, that precision in isolation, which is usually when you use the word only, and you really shouldn't, precision in isolation from other texts about an issue, that's not helpful. We should know the heart of the other text and know the heart of the one presenting and understand, here's what he's saying in relation to this specific verse, yes, but we know that other verses lean in. So when we say it's the word that does the work, we know as a congregation what's being said there, even though it's drawn from a specific verse. Why? Because we're letting precision work in conjunction with other texts on that issue, though we're not always having to voice every single text about every single issue all the time. That would be impossible. And so I just want to encourage you, don't let precision exist in your heart and mind in isolation from other texts. Even when you hear someone refer to a singular verse and make a singular statement, though not exclusive, about that verse, let the other verses about that topic, about that issue, weigh in. In that way, you're being precise in conjunction with other textual matters and scriptures on that issue. And I think that's when you get the full weight and the real heart of an issue or a topic or a text. Precision in conjunction is way better than precision in isolation. Question two came in just Sunday, and one of our members asked me after I used this verse in the sermon, they said, Todd, is Proverbs 18:24 really about being friendly? And here's why they asked it. I did quote that verse from the King James Version. It's how I learned it growing up, and it came to mind. It was an appropriate verse for the moment, and I shared it. But other translations don't word it that way. In fact, the King James is about the only translation that words it this way. A man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's the only translation that takes that rendering. The ESV, the NIV, the CSB, the NASB, and other translations, they're worded more like this. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Almost all of the other translations word it something like that. Like one with many friends may be harmed. In other words, the very first phrase is not a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Instead, it sounds like the opposite. If you have a lot of friends, you actually may be in trouble. You're going to come to ruin. You're soon going to see harm. So what gives here? That was his question, his member's question, like, hey, what's going on with that? That's not what my translation said. So let me address that. I think it's a great question. It's very intuitive and perceptive. The Hebrew phrase there, which is really like many friends and then one more word, that's the one in question. And so the King James sees those words, that Hebrew phrase, as many friends, and then they translate the next word friendly, and they use context to get there. Most other translations see it as many friends, and then the word literally means ruin or broken. And so they see it as if you have a lot of friends, you may end up broken. And I think all translations other than the King James, what they're pointing to is, you know, maybe we could say quantity of friendships, versus what the last half of the verse says, quality of friends. And so it is true that Proverbs is a book of contrast. This is in a section where that is happening a lot. And so it does make sense contextually to see Solomon saying, you can have a bunch of friends, but that may not be your best bet. In other words, that may not lead to the kind of health you're looking for, but there is one friend who will be even closer than a brother. So he's contrasting lots of friends without real depth and one friend with depth. And so the question was, does that really support what you said in the message, at least at that one point? And I'm going to say to this listener, and I'll say to you, I think it still does, even if I use the King James translation. Because here's what my point was, that the necessity of relational tenacity and relational priority, that's important if you're going to have friends. And you may choose to have few friends. You may choose to have a lot of friends. In either scenario, it requires relational tenacity, relational priority. You're going to need to put some work into it. You're going to need to put your best foot forward. So admittedly, if you have a lot of friends, that could be harder to manage. It may end up with a little more difficulty and it could be messier, admittedly so. I think that's what the verse is saying, that a quantity of friends may not be your best bet, but even if you choose that avenue, guess what? It's going to take relational proactivity. It's going to take some tenacity and priority to make sure relationships are on your radar, that you go after it. And the same is true if you go after just a few friends or even just one friend. It's going to take relational proactivity. It's going to have, you have to have a posture of relational priority and tenacity. So though I appreciate what he's saying, I really do. We had a good laugh about it again. He was kind of jabbing and poking a little bit, but I love the way he noticed that there is a difference here. I actually do side with the other translations. I think it's a better, more accurate, textual, and proper rendering of the actual words. However, I don't think the King James translation misses the point. I think relational tenacity, relational proactivity is what makes friendships work. Both have to lean in. And so if you find yourself, which is what I said this morning, without some friends or in places where there's not a lot of relationships, you've got to lean into that. You can't stay in the corners and live in the closets and kind of hide out and expect there to be any kind of relational health or value. You've got to lean in, take some steps. If it's just towards one person, you've still got to do that. If it's toward many people, you've still got to do that. So I think the point still stands. Relational tenacity, relational priority, relational proactivity is necessary on everyone's part for us to experience the health and what I would say is the rigor of gospel relationships that then build in us stronger endurance. I hope that helps even bring some perspective to the verse. And if you didn't know the verse was translated differently, well, that's good news today. It's a bit of insight, some extra knowledge for you. Hope you'll ponder that, meditate upon it. And whatever you do, let's lean into relationships so that God can build into us gospel rigor, a depth, and a persevering spirit so that we endure well and stand strong for the sake of the gospel.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.